Anthony's new baby girl and all of her significant grandparents and godparents and aunts and uncles and cousins are in the house. And so we're going to do that at the end of the service. What a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. I want to thank all those that stood in places of responsibility while we were, why don't you sit for a minute, while we were out of town for a couple of weeks, and just appreciate so much a church that knows how to have church. You had 9 receive the Holy Ghost last Sunday morning. 7 got baptized in Jesus' name. And the pastor was getting drowned on the Acropolis in the middle of your victory. So, just an excellent day to be alive in the kingdom of God. And at the Spanish service, they had 40-something in the service, twice as many, I think, as they've ever had in their service. A few weeks ago, they put on a display at the big citywide fiesta. That was over in Lynn Park, and they had a nice booth and a tent and all sorts of activities, and primarily they were trying to get people involved in Bible studies and be a witness there to the city. They had balloons, and one balloon, I think, had your name on it on a card or something like that. Brother Dustin, I think, got a call from a guy in Pennsylvania. Balloon got loose and caught the wind. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, the Holy Ghost is like this. He said, it's like the wind. It's, you don't know where it came from, you don't know where it's going, but you can hear the sound thereof. The wind caught that balloon and took it to Pennsylvania. I don't know quite how far that is, but it's a long way. And a guy got it and called the number. Now, I'm just telling you, and I thought about prayer when I heard that. And I thought about when you loose things in the spirit and you lay a card out for somebody or put a track in somebody's hand. You don't know where that thing's going to go. But don't worry about it. It's in the hands of the Spirit of God, and it's like the wind. It can take it a mighty long way and do things with it that you would never expect. We didn't expect to touch somebody in Pennsylvania with that booth that you guys, but you never know. When you set forth something in the kingdom of God, the ripples go forth, and who knows who will be touched, what life will be changed, what house will be brought back together, what family will be shaped and reshaped. You just never know. I'm excited about all that God is doing, and so thrilled that I get to be a part of it and that God has let us in on what he's doing in the earth. Israel is back in the land, and the whole world knows it. And in a few days or weeks, they'll be bombing Iran. And don't be afraid of that. Don't be worried about all that. It's prophecy coming to pass. And here we are. You might as well get up on the crest of the wave and ride this thing and enjoy it and be blessed by it, because God's will is going to be done, and the things that he's spoken, they're going to take place. Don't be afraid. Jesus said, when you see these things going on in the earth, don't be afraid of these things. Lift up your eyes, because your redemption is drawing nigh. We are excited. God is so good. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to... when you leave today, be sure to take flyers. Now, we won't have a service tonight because of the fall festival. By the way, all of the work and the booths and the activity and the food was so wonderful. It's just an excellent festival. You guys did a great, great job. I like for everybody that had a hand in that, setting up, tearing down, stowing away, cooking, whatever. Just stand up and let's celebrate you for a little bit. All right. Good job. Wonderful job. And we had a house full of visitors at the festival last night, and just an excellent time in the kingdom of God. So when you leave today, you want to take flyers off the foyer table and invite somebody to the Sunday with Brother Jason Carr. It's going to be a family Sunday, Friday night, Saturday morning. We'll have marriage retreat, and he'll be instructing and blessing. And he always expects, he's a clinical practitioner. He has a clinical practice, but he is also a man filled with the Holy Ghost and thoroughly apostolic. And so he always looks for a moving of the Spirit of God in every session that he's involved in. So on the Sunday following, we're going to have family revival Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And I want you to invite somebody, just your neighbors, your friend, your co-workers, and just tell them we're going to have a service especially dedicated to families. And if you have any needs in your family, well, that covers just about everybody that I know. If you have any needs in your family, God is able to give you an answer for those needs in the midst of that service. Now, I believe that. Is there anybody here that believes that? So just invite them to come, because they will try everything. And it's amazing to me, the money, the talent, the industry, the effort that goes into trying to fix problems that have a spiritual foundation. You really, really got to get an answer from God about a lot of this. Anything else is fairly cosmetic. So invite somebody to the house of God. Everybody say amen. What a wonderful, wonderful day. Well, we're going to continue in a study of the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. And when we're done, we're going to dedicate baby Ariana. And we rejoice with this family and extended family. It's a wonderful thing. You know, when babies are born, it's like, okay, we get another chance. Okay, here we are. God is looking at our train wreck, our mistakes, all that we haven't done. And he's saying, I still believe in new beginnings. And I still entrust in your hands a life and a destiny. Isn't it amazing what God does with little babies? Ephesians chapter 4. Why don't we stand for the reading of the word? And we're going to read beginning in verse 11. Glad again to have all of our guests and visitors in the house. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And this is a discussion about the gifts that he gave to the church. Your pastor, your evangelist, these gentlemen that have filled the pulpit in the last couple of weeks here, these are gifts to the church. And I thank God every time I pray for the fivefold ministry that God has sent into my life. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, the word there is better equipping, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, or if you would, an equipped man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God bless you. If you love his word, as you're seated this morning, let's give him praise and thanks for his word. Let's magnify him. God, we praise you for the privilege of handling your word. We praise you, God, for the privilege of hearing your word again. We pray, God, you'll touch every heart, every life by the power of your word today in this house. And we give you thanks for it. And we bless your name and we lift you up. And everyone said amen. Praise God. Well, we've been moving through the book of Ephesians here, and as we have through the Bible and now in the New Testament. And here we are in the fourth chapter, and more or less in an expositional way, we've been looking at these features that Paul is teaching about as parts of the New Testament church and consequently your New Testament experience. And the fivefold ministry is something that looms very large in the midst of that, because the fivefold ministry is given you to equip you. Because this is not just about your salvation. This is about God's purpose. It's not just about saving you from hell. It's about God's design for your life. And so connected together are your salvation and your vocation in the kingdom of God. And those two things cannot be separated, because if you never find your ministry and your gift and your vocation, your salvation will be in jeopardy. I dare say you're not able to walk in salvation without vocation in the kingdom of God. Now, to a world church that is happy to walk in a construct of no works and no responsibility and no accountability, this word doesn't make any sense to them. But if you just apply common sense day to day, on the job, reality, common sense, then you know that it matters what you do. And if you ever have read the parables, you understand that the kingdom of God is about work. It's about fishing, and it's about farming, and it's about building a tower, and it's about going to war. And so what you do, do you get a paycheck if you don't work? Well, if you're on welfare, you do, but that's not the will of God. And that only lasts as long as the till is open and somebody else is able to pay your bill. But the reality is, if you don't do, you don't get. Well, praise God. All right. So the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints, to equip you to have what you need to do what God has called you to do. And every person in this building today, you have a calling and you have a gift, and you are designed to be a blessing to someone else and to bring glory to God. And without that, you never achieve the design or the purpose of God in your life. So this is for the work of the ministry. It's for your calling. And all of that is for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edify is to build, brick by brick, step by step, program by program, building together the kingdom of God. And you're a part of that. And so as Noah built something that was the purpose of God, it was for the salvation of the world, but it was for his own salvation. He saved his house by building the boat. I'll tell you, you will save your house by building up the kingdom of God. You will save yourself by building up the kingdom of God. That's God's design. It's as old as the Old Testament and the characters there. Well, praise God. Till we come, he says, into the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and to the perfect man, to the measure and the stature, the fullness of Christ. All of this is about growth. All of this is about growing. And you can see and hear the language of process involved in this. And so it's about the unity of the faith. Everybody say the faith. I know what the world does with this, but you can't come to God on your own terms or in some way that comforts you. You've got to come to God by God's ways. Now, in our cultural, social, economic experiment here in the United States, it has worked well for people to get along no matter what type of church or what type of belief, if they're Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim or whatever. We're a great melting pot here, and we don't fight over all of that business, because if we did, we wouldn't get any business done. So we have learned socially and culturally and economically to get along with one another. But the scripture is very plain about the faith. The word of God says that you need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And Paul said, if an angel from heaven comes and preaches a gospel to you that's not the gospel that I preach to you, let him be accursed. And so you can see clearly that the scripture is not designed for consensus, and the scriptures intrusive, and it's assertive, and it's disruptive, and it calls into question things that may be very important to you. But he said you got to come into the unity of the faith. You have to believe what the characters in the Bible believed. You have to hold true what they held true. It doesn't change because you're 2,000 years away. Well, that's not relevant to our day, and you're in serious spiritual trouble because you don't believe the Word of God. The Word of God is forever settled in the heavens. Who gave you the right to edit it? Who gave a man the right to change? Now, there are pulpits that will tell you something other than the Word of God. And they will marry homosexuals, and they will, and they'll walk off into anything that seems culturally relevant. But I'll tell you, they've walked away from the Word of God. Now, you first have to answer the question, do you want to do business with people, or do you want to do business with the kingdom of God and the Word of God? And once you've determined that you want to do business with God, you've got to come on His terms, and it's about His faith. You got to come into the unity of the faith. The fivefold ministry helps you to come to that point. That's why God gave that to you. To the knowledge of the Son of God. Not that you know Him, but that you know what He knows. The knowledge of the Son of God. What God knows, He wills for you to know. And the perfect man, or the equipped man. You want to be equipped for the business of the ministry. It's amazing how people just want to walk out in the middle of the things of God and they shout about a blessing. They have no idea who He is, how to come to Him, what His name is, how to approach Him, how to please Him. And that takes a little doing. It takes a little growth process. Unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. You see, that's a very tall order. And He wants to bring us into that. To do that, they were disciples. You have to be disciplined.
I don't want to hear about doctrine. Just talk to me about love.
You know you're nuts. You know you're nuts. You don't want to ride in a car that was built by feel. You don't want to drive over a bridge that was built by feel. You don't want to walk in a building, a multi-story building that was just built like anybody felt like building it. They did that recently in India, and the whole place came down and killed a bunch of people. You can't just get together on a Saturday and say, well, let's do this, let's build this, let's build the kingdom of God. Well, you can't. God's already established it. You've got to do it His way. It has to be disciplined, has to be directed, has to be purposed. Praise God. We are going to dedicate a baby today. We are getting into that. But thank God that Ariana has the privilege of being alive in a day when there is yet apostolic churches and an apostolic word and an apostolic ministry and a mom and dad that want to bring her to a house of God and teach her how to worship and live for God and not make it up as they go along. Praise God. These things are as true as they were in the day of Joshua, where they put a pile of stones up at Gilgal and another pile in the bed of the Jordan River, one invisible and one visible. And He said, one day your children are going to come and they're going to ask, what meaneth these stones? And you're going to say, one day we were in Egypt and we were in bondage and we were not our own. We belonged to someone else. But God came and God saw about us and God delivered us. And well, praise God. Ariana's going to come one day and she's going to say, what does all this mean? What are all these cultural things about? What is all this activity about? And when she's tiny, tiny, she's going to embrace it all. But there'll be a day when she's going to ask the questions. And she needs to, because it has to be her own. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, by the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He said, the fivefold ministry is given to you to build you and shape you and equip you, bring you to the measure of the fullness, the stature of Christ, so that you know what God knows and you're brought into the unity of the faith. The fivefold ministry is given to you so that you can do that, so that you are no longer a little child. Because when you first come to God, you are like a little child. And in this, we touch one of many paradoxes in the Word of God. There's a tremendous beauty in being a little child. And there's a tremendous vulnerability and danger in being a little child. And this is one of the paradoxes of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. Jesus speaking, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Okay, there it is. If you don't get a mindset like a little child, you're not going to make it. If you don't shed the bark that you had to develop to deal with a hard world, you're not going to make it in the kingdom of God. If you don't shed the cynicism and skepticism and all the toughness and all the harsh things, if you don't shed that, you're not going to make it in the kingdom of God. He's just telling you. You got to become like a little child. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child is the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So to the degree that you are able to become like a little child, that you succeed in having that mindset and that vulnerability, you will be great in the kingdom of God. These things are directly connected. Matthew chapter 19. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer them, let the little children come unto me, and forbid them not to come, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. The paradox is that the scripture compels us to come as children, but warns us of the vulnerability of children. Because Paul says, that you no longer be little children, blown about by every wind of doctrine, susceptible to the craftiness of people that would come and deceive you and draw you away from the things of God. And so we have this paradox set up that you have to be like a little child, but you can't stay like that. You've got to grow out of that. This is within the context of this fourth chapter of Ephesians, where he is teaching you about the fivefold ministry and what it's going to do and designed to do in your life. And the fivefold ministry is going to bring you, as a mom and dad bring a little child into the house of God. Did Ariana make any suggestion about what she would wear this morning? Who dressed her? You dressed her? You didn't ask her? You're a totalitarian. You're a dictator. We don't have to live under these rules. But she's a little child. And she just, now if she doesn't like it, she'll just puke on it or do other things. Anybody, is there a witness in the house? Anybody been ready for church and stuff comes out both ends and it's just a, and you walk in church and it's like, we're here. But about 15 minutes into it, you're wondering why we're here. It's going to be like that for a few years. God bless the nursery workers. God bless those that serve. Did she ask what she would eat this morning? Did she ask where would we go? Did she place any demands at all upon the process? He said, you've got to become just like this. Oh, well, wait a minute. I am a full-grown man. I am a full-grown woman. I came into this house of my own will. Yeah, but if you're going to live for God, I don't know where you're going to go to church. And I don't know what fivefold ministry you're going to submit yourself to. But when you come, that's going to be necessary. And your attitude is going to have to be like, okay, when you get here, you nail it down. We got stirred up by prophecy. We were 20 years old. We started calling every church in Baton Rouge. We talked to priests and to preachers. We went to services. We visited Bible studies. We did all kinds of things. And we kept coming back to these Pentecostals because they kept giving us the Bible for an answer to everything. They had an answer to everything. And after we saw them and knew them to be culturally strange, and we wanted to find some reason not to embrace that, they had an answer for everything. And it was a biblical answer. And we were thinking, they're probably right about all this other stuff too. To the place and to the degree where the evidence was so strong that we said, this is the place. This is the pulpit. This is the man. Once you did, now that is necessary. You have to do that. Or you're just out there floating from pillar to post. And there are no independents in the kingdom of God. Well, bless God. I believe in God and I love God, but I don't like organized religion. Okay, I'm going to give you an object lesson, a little test to run. When you get home, take a meat cleaver and cut your hand or your foot off. It's pretty simple. You don't have to be trained to do that. We have people in the house here trained. They can help you with it if you need it, but just cut it off. If you're not bold enough, just one finger, one digit. Throw it out in the yard. Check on it next week. Tell me how that's going. Well, what's that mean? Well, that means that that's your body and the support system and the whole body lives off the same blood and the same oxygen and the same processes. And the church of the living God is the body of Christ. And you don't live outside the body and live. You can't live outside the body. So all your stubbornness and all your hardness and all of your skepticism, if you want to know the truth, I think you're just making excuses because you don't have the guts to make a commitment. But that's not the lesson today, so I won't say that. But you have to make a decision and be committed to the fivefold ministry. And it doesn't live on a television. And it's not some distant figure. No, you're going to do business with the kingdom of God. All through the Bible, there's this doctrine, this theology of the laying on of hands. And it wasn't about lay your hands on the radio. Lay your hands on the television. Woo! Send your $100 bill. And God's going to send you a Cadillac. Well, no, you need a personal relationship. Those men came to Jesus and followed him. And Timothy followed Paul. And Mark was Peter's shadow. And on and on and on. And you got to have a flesh and blood man that can walk up in the middle of your life and say, that's not right. This won't work. You need to change. You understand me? To lay his hand on you. There is a communication of the power of the kingdom of God in the laying on of hands. Mama and daddy have that power. Mama and daddy, at the end of this service, mom and dad are going to lay their hands on Ariana. Grandparents are going to gather around. Extended family are going to gather around. They're going to all lay their hands. And there is a communicative power there in the laying on of hands. But none of that was mentioned when Paul was talking about what God essentially wants to do with you through the fivefold ministry. You've got to find it. You've got to be embracing it. And you've got to be submitted to it. Or you will not live in the kingdom of God. This is what you call essentiality. And the world church doesn't believe in essentials. They don't believe anything. They don't believe fat meat is greasy. And anything you want to do will essentially not threaten your salvation. Well, hear me. Listen. Understand this. You will go to hell if you're not a part of the church of the living God. You will go to hell if you're not a part of God's kingdom. And if you don't submit to a fivefold ministry, you're not going to make your way into the kingdom of God. All right. I don't know how else to say that more plainly. Okay, so that sets us apart from most everything out there in the church world. But you know, I don't want Ariana to go to hell. I don't. You picture her. Okay, just divide the screen there. One side, she's beautiful baby, living on love. The Sandman says, maybe I'll take you above. And she's just floating up there and she's in the hands of God and God loves her. And that other place is full of all sorts of creepy things and demons and devils and noxious sulfur. And that's not for her. God did not design her for the devil's destruction. God designed her to please him and serve him. Somebody's got to bring that baby into an experience with fivefold ministry. Well, praise God. Now, so we have this paradox then. You have to become like her, but you can't stay like her. You have to become like her in order to ingest the training and the discipline and the word that's going to make you equipped and prepared, a person that can stand up to the full measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, the fullness of God in your life, so that you can stand on your own and live for God. Praise God. It takes training. It takes discipline. Now, this is not easy. This is not easy because you came from somewhere. Most of us came from somewhere else. And as we came into the house of God, we have been shaped by our former cultural experience, by our former familial experience. We are shaped by the ideas and by the mores of our home and our culture. And so as we come into the kingdom of God, we find that all of that doesn't fit in. If you were shaped by your home culture to be kind and to be good, that's going to serve you well in the kingdom of God. But not everything that we bring in from the outside will fit into the kingdom. Those things have to go. And that's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, the very first thing you have to do if you want to be a disciple, he said, you've got to take up your cross and follow after me. He said, something's got to die. If you, the very first step in the kingdom of God is something's got to die. The old house has got to die. The old way has to die. The old attitude has to die. The old religious tradition has to die. Now, we live in the Bible Belt, and everybody that lives in the city of Birmingham is saved. I hadn't met a lost person in I don't know when. Johnny Cash sings, I hadn't seen the sunshine in I don't know when. I ain't seen a lost person. Matter of fact, I hadn't met many people that weren't a prophet in the city of Birmingham. Most everybody I meet is a prophet or a prophetess. Now, then they walk into the house of God. But what they've been shaped by is not the Word of God. They've been shaped by a cultural idea. They've been shaped by something that was launched 300 years after Jesus and the apostles in the heart of the Roman Catholic Church. And then it was modified 1,200 years after Jesus and the apostles in the heart of the Protestant Revolution or Reformation. And all sorts of variations on that have been effectively designed throughout all of those years. Well, you come down to 2013, and it is a train wreck. Ideology, doctrine, and purpose, and direction, and how do we get this done, and how do we know God, and who is God? And you wouldn't think that it would be so twisted, because God left us a perfect blueprint for how to have church, to know what church is, to know what his people are. It's called the Word of God. All you have to do is open up the book of Acts and read the Word of God. Did you know that nobody in the Bible was baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Nobody. I'll give you a $100 bill right now if you can find one narrative experience in the Word of God. See, this is easy because I don't have a $100 bill. My wife doesn't let me have, no, but nobody in that Bible, but scream ahead 2,000 years, most of the people in Birmingham, Alabama that have been baptized in a Christian church were baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Nobody in the Bible was. Why is that? It's because they've come the way of something that happened 300 years after Jesus, something that happened 1,200 years after Jesus, and they haven't gone back to the book. Now, they have libraries full of commentary, and you can spend a lifetime studying the commentary in the libraries, but I offer you today one simple text. Why don't you do it the way God intended for it to be done? This is an easy thing. This is an easy thing. Oh, but no, when you walk in the door, you've got in your mind and in your spirit what Mama said and what Grandma Nellie said and what Auntie said and what Preacher Bob said and what all these folks have told you. And that's a part of your old house. That's a part of your old experience, your old culture. And that's a part of what has to be nailed to a cross. And that's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy to give up tortillas. It's not easy to give up red beans and rice. It's not easy to give up. But if God asks you to give those things up, you got to do it if you're coming in. Anybody believe that today? Whatever God says is right. Whatever God asks is good. Whatever God purposes is what we agree with today. That's what amen means. That's what amen means. And so if you find that everybody in the Bible was baptized in Jesus' name, then today you should be baptized in Jesus' name. You shouldn't go another step. You shouldn't wait another day. You say, well, no. I have to go and talk to this person and that person and reference this and study that. The scripture says you need to be like a little child. And the position of the cross is one of total vulnerability. And that's the place where you have to stand today. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, do you know that today they teach all over Christendom that the Holy Ghost is some mysterious silent thing that happens when you have a cognitive moment where you believe in Jesus? But you know, when you got it in the Bible, it was a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and it flaming tongues of fire sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. But in 2013, after it's been filtered through the Roman Catholic Church and through Luther and through Calvin and through all of the Protestants that have made their way. By the way, this is not a Protestant church that you're in today. This is not a Protestant church. This is an apostolic church. You say, well, what makes it that? We don't come from Martin Luther. We don't come from Zwingli. We don't come from John Knox. We don't come from Jean Calvin. We come from the Word of God. Well, you say, well, everybody says that. Well, all you got to do is demonstrate it. I walked into my pastor, my Southern Baptist pastor, and I said, look, Brother Jimmy, I said, you've been my pastor since I was 12 years old. I said, I met some people. They've been telling me about baptism in Jesus' name, and they showed me it in the Bible. How do you reconcile baptism in Jesus' name with Matthew 28:19? And I had the Bible open to the passage, and he closed the Bible. And he said, well, I believe. And then we were off. And I was pleasant and I was thankful and I appreciated him. And I knew he didn't have a clue. And I said, okay. It's all right. What I was asking was, deliver me from these wing nuts in that Pentecostal church. I mean, we were sitting right on the second row one morning. We just started going, and this woman went off. And stuff started flying out of her head. It was in the days of the big bouffant. And she had, Brother E.T., she had stuff in there to make it boof. And no oatmeal boxes came out, but a lot of other stuff. So we're taking all this in and thinking, is this the people of God? And something in you would rather it not be. Something in you would rather it be calm and collected and where you would know what was going to happen and expectations were the same every time you came in the door. But it's not like that. It's fluid and it's dynamic. And you don't know what's going to happen. And you don't know when people are going to get the Holy Ghost. And it's just like that. Praise God. So when I went down in the water in Jesus' name, I stepped away from my mother, who is the matriarch of our family, who I venerate in my heart. I have a chapel unto her in my heart. That is greater than almost anything there. Yet to this day, she's the greatest woman that I ever knew because she's my mom. But I had to step away from her because she had walked through that narrative, linear, historical church development thing, and she didn't understand the Word of God. Great lady. You see how painful this can be. He goes on after he said, take up your cross. He said, I'll tell you what you got to do. You got to hate your mom and your dad and your brothers and your sisters and Uncle Louie and your own life if you want to follow me. What do you mean hate them? Well, they're going to think you hate them when you turn away and say, I can't be a Catholic anymore. I can't be a Baptist anymore. I can't be a whatever you are. And I don't care what the name over the door is. It is immaterial. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. It can be a moose lodge over the door, but if people are getting the Holy Ghost and getting baptized in Jesus' name and living by the Word of God, then it's a church of the living God. You understand what I'm saying? The name over the door doesn't matter. Praise God. Well, so I'm going to stop here because we got to dedicate Ariana. But you got to become as a little child. You got to let down your guard. That's not easy because people have hurt me. People have done me bad. And if I let down my guard, you're going to hurt me. Well, it happens sometimes. But as we're looking for the kingdom of God, it's exactly what has to happen. Now, let me just leave you with this. Two growth process templates in the Word of God. All you guys with me? Man, I love this crowd that comes. I'm so glad y'all came to the party last night. How many of you got the Holy Ghost last week? You got the Holy Ghost Sunday morning? All right. Praise God. A couple of growth process templates here. The first is Israel coming out of Egypt. Israel is in bondage. Israel's a type of a person in Egypt or in sin or in the world. Moses is the deliverance of God. And he brings them out. The Word of God says, Paul teaches, they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. He's teaching that when they came across that Red Sea, it was like being baptized in the New Testament sense and receiving the Spirit in the New Testament sense. So you get into biblical typology in that discussion. But when he brings them out, they've been in the construct of Pharaoh, lived under the culture of a servant class. Now they come out and they're free. And there's a celebration on the banks of the Red Sea. And they're shouting and they're dancing and Miriam's beating her tambourine. And it's a wonderful time. And it's glorious and it's exhilarating. And it's true and they're free. But now they don't have an identity. Right. Now they don't know who they are. Right. Now they have to start all over again because you can't live like a slave when you're not under slavery. And you can't live like you're living for Pharaoh when you're not living in for Pharaoh. And you can't live like an Egyptian in the house of God. So now they've got they've received the Holy Ghost. They've been baptized. So if you wanted to put it in strict terms, they've been saved. All right? But now they're right there and they have to build themselves all over again. Moses goes to the mountain. He goes to Sinai. God gives him the Word of God. He comes down. You know how long? They're going to be there for over 2 years. They're going to be at the foot of Sinai for over 2 years. They're going to build the tabernacle. That's how they do their sacrifices and how they come in before God. They're going to learn what holiness is, how to dress, how to walk, how to treat one another. He gives them rules about civic things. He gives them rules about hygiene. He gives them rules about social interaction. He gives them a packaged social cultural model. He gives them everything they need to walk out of Egypt, and he gives them a national identity. Now, when you come out of sin, you don't have an identity other than one that is anarchical. You're in anarchy. You're not living under Pharaoh's thumb, and you're not living for God. You've got to come and learn how to live for God. You can't live in anarchy and live for God. You've got to live by rule and law and statute and commandment. That will shape your culture. That will shape your head. That will shape your family. All of your relationships. It's given to you by the Word of God. 2 years to learn how to do that. That's why we emphasize home Bible study so much. It's absolutely essential. If you never had a home Bible study in your house, you need to do that today. You don't need to leave the house until you sign up for a home Bible study. We'll send somebody there that will teach you and that will mentor you and tutor you in the Word of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Because you have to come. It's not enough to say, I give up everything I've been. Because if you don't replace it with something else, you will be by default what you were before. So if you don't change your life in terms of structure and culture, you somewhere here in the, if you'll let me make the leap from Egypt and Israel to the house of God today, you will be here in the house exhibiting Egyptian culture. You have to be made over again by the Word of God. And the Word of God has to give you that shape and that definition and that culture and new mores and new understanding. Praise God. The disciples go through the same thing. They choose a rabbi. The rabbi is Jesus. They're going to follow him for 3 years. And they live in a very God-centric culture. They live in a place that is dominated by the Sanhedrin and people trying to enforce the rule of the Word of God. And it's so funny. They are very, very religious and they don't know God. Only a handful of people in Israel know God. And so Jesus begins to teach them and he brings them. And we don't have the time. I was going to go through a lot of scripture on that today. But he brings them into a new understanding. So much so that in Luke, the last chapter, when he's about to ascend, the Word of God says, and then he opened up their understanding that they might understand the Word of God. They were raised in a synagogue. They didn't understand the Word of God. They had been around it all their lives. They could quote it, but they didn't know or understand the Word of God. This ought to send off red lights and sirens and bells going off in your heart and in your head. If you've been in church all your life, and when I'm talking to you about an apostolic experience or water baptism in Jesus' name or the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and you don't understand any of that, I'm going to tell you, you are very, very religious. And you're probably a good person. But you're not obedient to the Scripture. And you've got to come by the way of the Scripture. You can't come at all. He takes them for 3 years. And then he opens up their understanding that they might understand the Scripture. Somebody say praise the Lord. Got to come like a little child. Got to lay down the old house, the old ways. Now, this is especially hard for apostolics. This is especially hard for Pentecostals that walk into a revival church and they say, well, I've been apostolic. I've been Pentecostal all my life. And then they look around here and they do not understand worship. And they don't understand pastoral authority. And they don't understand apostolic succession. They don't understand the fivefold ministry. Because they'll tell you, well, Brother Sutton, I've been through about an umpteen pastors and preachers. I've seen them fall. I've seen them go up in flames. I've seen them run off with the secretary and the piano player. I've seen all kind of preachers. And so here I am on the seat and bless God, there's not a thing in the world you can teach me. Except you become as a little child. You will in no. You know what's happened to you? The devil came in the back door. He caused trouble over here. He caused a problem over there. Your life has been ensnared in somebody else's trouble. And you've developed that bark again and that hardness again and that cynicism again. That stuff's got to go. I don't care how long you've been in. This altar will break off every bit of the bark. It'll break off every bit of the resistance. But except you become as a little child, you will in no wise enter in. Praise God. Praise God. I could say, come down to the altar, right? If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to come and get it right now, today. But there's some folks that wouldn't do that. But in a minute, I'm going to tell Brother Anthony and Sister Lauren, bring Ariana down. And they're going to get up and she's going to go wherever they go. She's going to do whatever they do. Where are you having lunch? Cracker Barrel. Is she going to go with you? Okay. And she's not going to say a word about it. Okay. You see, ideally and biblically, if I told you today, you need to get up. If you've never been if you were baptized in the titles, you are in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts at Ephesus. And Paul found people already baptized. He baptized them again in the name of Jesus. First, it matters that you're baptized. Secondly, it is essential that you're baptized in the name of Jesus. But if you were like a little child, you would say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to be baptized today. If I told you, you need to come stand right here. And just like our good sister this morning, she lifted up her hands, opened up her heart, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She knew she got it because she began to speak in other tongues. If you were like a little child, you would say, I don't understand a bit of that. I don't understand half of what he's saying. But I'm going to do exactly what he said. And God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. And you'll begin to speak in tongues. And you'll speak in tongues every day for the rest of your life. Praise God. Lindsay, come help them. Come play some music that makes them feel like a little child. And compels them and draws them and provokes them. And causes them to feel like their life will be totally incomplete unless they come to the altar today. That kind of song. Let's stand together. Praise God. Now, except you become as a little child. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, somebody immersed you in water and invoked the name of Jesus over your life, I want you to come down right now. We're going to pray with you and we'll baptize you in Jesus' name. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, I want you to come right now. Come down to the altar. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. You need to become just like a little child. Praise God. Church, pray. It helps. Hallelujah. Almighty God, mighty God, worthy God, I give you praise. Praise God, you're coming, buddy. Kia, come pray. Ashley, come pray. Natalie, come pray. These young men respond really, really well to a young lady, to a maternal influence. Pray, church. We're gonna dedicate a baby in a minute, but let's have somebody receive the Holy Ghost. Mom and daddy can tell her, baby, on the day you were dedicated, the fire was falling. People were getting Holy Ghost. People were having sins washed away in the name above every name. We've got some down here talking in tongues right now.